There'll be a meeting of senior US personnel, of Ukrainians, and of NSA's national security advisers from Europe, including my national security advisor, to take things further forward.
And have you spoken to President Trump yet about this peace plan personally?
I talk to President Trump frequently, and I'm expecting to talk to him again in coming days. But look, there's been a lot of discussion in the last few days at the European level with the Ukrainians. It is fast moving, as you say. I think the focus very much now is on Geneva tomorrow, and whether we can make progress tomorrow morning.
Then he can continue. Then he can continue to fight his little heart out.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, November the 23rd, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the 28-point peace plan and the European leaders' reaction to the 28-point peace plan. And before we get into it, please like this video, share this video, and if you like this channel, please subscribe to this channel. So the European reaction at the G20. European leaders are at the G20, and they are plotting and scheming and trying to figure out how to react to Trump's 28-point peace plan, which they do not like. Allegedly, they do not like it. They don't like the part about the Russian frozen assets going to the United States. That's the part that they really don't like. But we have a photo from BlackRock Mertz, the ex-account of BlackRock Mertz. He is sitting down with Starmer 008, and I believe Macron. Is that Macron? Is that little Napoleon? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Friends, partners, allies, united in support for Ukraine. That's right. Merz, Macron, Stammer. The big three. The E3 is what they're called, right? The E3, the European three. The unstoppable three. The three musketeers, the three Avengers. Merz, Macron, Stammer. Yep, they are, they're going to figure out what to do with this 28-point peace plan, how to get the United States and Trump to walk away from this plan. That's what they're going to try and figure out. They're united. They are united, those three. And Donald Tusk, not part of the big three.
Oh, wow.
Donald Tusk is not part of the big three, Poland, but he wants to be. He definitely wants to be part of the big three, making it the big four. He posted on X that he wants to know who actually wrote this plan. He doesn't like it. Donald Tusk does not like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. But he wants to know who wrote it. Who wrote this freaking thing? That is what Donald Tusk is asking. Everyone's wondering who wrote this plan. Was it Dmitriev? Was it Rubio? Was it Witkoff? Who wrote this thing? Was it Putin himself? Who wrote it? Kellogg. Was it Kellogg? No, it wasn't Kellogg. This is what Tusk posted. Together with the leaders of Europe, Canada, and Japan, we have declared our readiness to work on the 28-point plan despite some reservations. However, before we start our work, it would be good to know for sure who is the author of the plan and where it was created. He doesn't only want to know who wrote it. He also wants to know where it was created. He's hinting at Russia, right? We see what you're doing there, Tusk. We see what you're hinting at, what you're implying. You're saying that the Russians wrote this in some basement in Lubyanka. In Lubyanka, the FSB in some basement far, far below the earth. The Russians came up with this 28-point peace plan. That's what Tusk is getting at. Are we going to get into a whole Trump-Russiagate thing now? Is that where you guys are taking this? Jeez. The plan is not even that bad for the collective West. For the collective West, this is a great plan, at least for the United States. For the United States, this is a victory plan. For Russia, it's awful. For Ukraine, it's also bad. As I said in a video a couple of days ago, this plan is Ukraine capitulating to Russia and Russia capitulating to the United States. As far as the Europeans go, they're just upset because they're not going to get their hands on the Russian frozen assets. That's what they're angry about. They want those Russian frozen assets, the Europeans. And then Trump comes in and says, you know what? In my plan, the United States gets the Russian frozen assets, and the United States gets all of the energy from Ukraine, all the resources from Ukraine, and the United States works with Russia to make money on Russian energy resources. I mean, this plan for the United States, for Trump, this plan is a massive victory. It is the biggest victory that the United States, that Trump has ever pulled off. If he actually pulls off this plan, Trump, if Russia were to actually sign off on this 28-point peace plan, Trump will go down in history as the greatest negotiator ever in history. that's what I would say. Because this plan, boy, is it a huge W for the U.S. The U.S. in a proxy war with Russia. And Trump comes up with this plan. And the Europeans are upset about it because the United States is basically taking the victory. They don't like that. They don't like it, the United States taking the victory. They thought they were allies with the U.S. They thought they were in this together. How come we don't get a part of this huge victory? That's what's going on here. By the way, Modi, he did attend the G20. I said yesterday that Modi was not going to attend the G20, but he did show up at the G20. So the leaders that did not go to the G20, Trump, Xi, and Putin. Modi was there. So Nigel Farage also wants to weigh in on this 28-point peace plan. He posted on X, Ukraine being asked to have the size of its army is unacceptable. I am waiting to see a counterproposal from Zelensky's government. Yeah, right. 600,000 soldiers, an army of 600,000. That's what this plan is saying, which would make Ukraine the largest military in all of Europe. That's having Ukraine's military, right? Okay, right. So much for demilitarization, which was the goal of the special military operation. This plan is basically saying that we're going to create the largest military in all of Europe under this 28-point peace plan. And Farage has a problem with that. Farage is still complaining. Farage wants to be accepted by the UK establishment elite. He's trying really hard to be accepted by the UK establishment elite. You see, I hate Russia too. I hate Russia just as much as Stammer and Blair and Bojo. Come on, guys, let me in the club. Stop debanking me. Stop debanking me. I want to be in the UK establishment club as well. So that is Farage. Oh, boy. The panic, or the fake panic from the Europeans. Fico says this is a good plan. Fico says the plan is good and we need to get to a peace. So Fico is saying, let's just negotiate this and let's end this conflict. That is from the leader of Slovakia. Kellogg has reappeared Many people believe that Kellogg was the man who leaked the 28-point peace plan to Axios and pissed off the Russians. I believe Witkoff actually posted on X. I think he deleted this post. It was a reply to someone. But Witkoff, when someone was saying who leaked this plan, how did this get out there? And Witkoff, he posted something along the lines of K, or it was leaked by K, or this is from K. And many people speculate that Witkoff was saying Kellogg. But I think that was deleted. Kellogg's on his way out in January, allegedly on his way out. I don't think he's actually officially announced anything. But the reports are that Kellogg is leaving. He should have been fired publicly. He should have been publicly fired by Trump, given the information that he was giving Trump on the conflict in Ukraine. We're winning. We're winning. Yeah, Ukraine is winning. We're winning, President Trump. It's a stalemate. The 60 Russian soldiers in Kupiansk is just a cleanup operation now, and there's 300 soldiers in Pokrovsk. Everything's under control. So go ahead and place those bone-crushing sanctions. All is good. That was the information that Kellogg was giving Trump. So Trump should have canned him very publicly. That's what he should have done. But instead, we have rumors and speculation that Kellogg is on his way out. So he was speaking to Fox News. I believe Lara Trump was who he's speaking to on Fox News. The Trump family has shows now on Fox News. And she was interviewing Keith Kellogg. And Kellogg was kissing up to Trump, saying that he inherited this war. This was not his war. And this was Biden's war. And we're going to have elections in Ukraine. And it's going to be democratic. We're going to see the Ukrainian democracy really, really shine through. And he was saying all of this nonsense. That was Kellogg's return. The return of Kellogg. So what else? What else? Let me put this coffee down somewhere. I forgot what the next topic is going to be. So I want to put this coffee down somewhere and see what's next on the agenda. They really fixed this up, huh? For the first time in maybe 10 years, this place has become nice. this street. They have been tearing up this street and doing all kinds of crazy stuff here for 10 years, and it looks like they finally got it right. So, what else? The meeting between the U.S. and Ukraine to discuss this plan. Allegedly, the deadline is on Thanksgiving for Zelensky to decide yes or no on this plan. Thanksgiving Day. And if he does not sign off on this plan, the media was reporting that the Trump White House was going to remove all intel sharing, weapons and intel sharing. Trump was asked about this from reporters, and then he kind of toned it down with the rhetoric as far as this being a hard ultimatum. He made it out as if, you know what, it's not a hard ultimatum. We're flexible on the whole Thursday thing and Ukraine's decision. So Trump is already starting to water things down a bit. He's already starting to flip-flop, right? He's in pre-flip-flop mode. He's in pre-flip-flop mode, Trump. But they're going to be meeting in Geneva. I've heard reports saying that Yermak is going to be the lead negotiator. I've heard reports saying that Zelensky's going to be there. Zelensky and Yermak, they're going to be there negotiating this with the United States, U.S. officials. I believe Dmitry Medvedev said that Yermak is going to be the lead negotiator. And it's all taking place in Geneva. Ukraine and U.S. sets for talks on Trump's plan to end war with Russia, according to the New York Times. Why is it taking place in Geneva, man? I don't understand that. How come they're not in Kiev, right? I mean, the United States pretty much owns Kiev. How come they just didn't fly to Kiev? Everyone goes to Kiev. Everyone is traveling to Kiev. How come the United States, the U.S. officials, just do not go to Kiev to meet with Yermak and Zelensky? Why do they have to go to Geneva? Because the U.S. and the Europeans, they're coordinating all of this, man. That's why, man. Oh, boy. So, the Washington Post, they decided to chime in on all of this that is going on, all of this peace talk in Ukraine. They decided to weigh in. The outrage of peace in Ukraine is a better way to put it. Everyone is outraged at some sort of negotiation with Russia, some sort of peace with Russia. And the New York Times, they got David Ignatius to write an article with the title, "Zelensky may never have faced a more agonizing choice. U.S. officials tell me Trump's peace plan is flexible, but a painful decision lies at its core." The interesting part about reading a Washington Post article, especially an article from David Ignatius, is that you get the perspective of the three-letter agencies. So if you want to know what the three-letter agencies are thinking, or what they may be up to, or how they may be looking to sabotage something, then you turn to the Washington Post, and that'll give you the thinking, the plans of the three-letter agencies. So in this article, David Ignatius, he makes some pretty shocking revelations, according to his sources. And one of the interesting points that he brings up is that Trump was motivated to put together this peace plan about a month ago because of the military situation. So Ignatius in the Washington Post admits that what's driving all of this is the fact that Ukraine is losing, the collapse of Ukraine on the front line. They also then say that Trump believes that Russia will be ready for a deal because Russia's economy is also in bad shape, and Putin doesn't want to fight for another 2 years. So they throw that in there as well, but forget about that. The real reason, they admit it, the real reason is Ukraine is losing the war, and that's what's pushed them to try and get this Minsk III kind of peace plan to try and fool Russia into signing this stuff. And that's a big admission. That was a big admission in this article. Another thing that this article says is that instead of boots on the ground, instead of a coalition of the willing European boots on the ground, if Russia signs this document, what the Trump White House will do, because Russia is against European NATO boots on the ground in Ukraine, Trump is going to show some flexibility. He is the negotiator in chief, right? And so he's going to show some flexibility, according to the Washington Post. And instead of NATO military in Ukraine to keep the peace, if this document is signed, what Trump will give Ukraine is Tomahawk missiles. that's going to be the compromise from the White House to Russia. Yeah, Russia's going to go for that, right? The whole war, the whole conflict started from the fear, the prospect of long-range missiles in Ukraine. So the agreement is going to be long-range missiles in Ukraine. Okay. Oh, it's ridiculous, man. It really is ridiculous. But that's what the WAPO is writing. That is what they are saying. They reveal that the document is modeled after the ceasefire in Gaza. They say that Turkey
played a big part in putting together this this document, or at least mediating between all the varying sides to come up with this document. So they're giving a lot of props to Turkey. And of course, Turkey has geopolitical interests to see this conflict end and to prevent Russia from moving towards Odessa. The last thing Turkey wants to see is Russia controlling the major part of the Black Sea, a big part of the Black Sea. So Turkey's going to do everything in their power to prevent Russia from doing that. So they would like to see this conflict wind down, and they would like to prevent Russia from taking Odessa. But anyway, the Washington Post is saying that Turkey has played their part. And it also talks about the amnesty clause in this document. It reveals that the amnesty clause, where the document grants amnesty for any financial crimes or anything like that, that has taken place in Project Ukraine, it says that everyone will have amnesty. So there will be no audits, no investigations, nothing. And this is in order to protect Zelensky and his clique. But I imagine it's also there to protect a whole lot of other very powerful people, right? Everyone's going to get amnesty. Anyway, the Washington Post reveals that the amnesty clause has nothing to do with Putin or war tribunals or anything like that. The amnesty clause is a clause that was put in place by Umerov, by the Ukrainians, in order to prevent any type of financial investigations. So basically what the Washington Post is saying, that if this thing is signed, then all the money that was taken, that went through the washing machine, it's done. It's a done deal. There's going to be no investigations, nothing. Everyone's going to take their money, and they're going to be free to do with it as they wish, free to buy their football clubs and their mansions. So it reveals that as well. And what else does this document reveal? The Tomahawks, I said that, right? Yeah, the Tomahawks, I said that. Oh, it also talks about the buffer zone that's going to be created. There's going to be a buffer zone in Donetsk. This is what I've been saying for the past couple of days. That's exactly what the Washington Post is saying as well. Russia's going to get Donetsk, but it's really not going to get Donetsk. It's going to be the 20%, 25% is what the Washington Post puts it at. 25% of Donetsk, which is still under control of Ukraine. That's the number that they're putting. That part is going to be a demilitarized zone, and it's going to act as a buffer zone. And not only that, according to the Washington Post, the United States is going to build a security wall using the latest and greatest advanced technology. The remainder of Donetsk, not under Russian control, will be a neutral zone. The draft agreement calls on Ukraine to withdraw from the roughly 25% of Donetsk it now holds, meeting Russia's key demand to reassure Ukraine that it would be secure behind the ceasefire line. They use the word ceasefire. The U.S. draft agreement says this withdrawal zone should be demilitarized. In addition, the U.S. and its allies would help Ukraine build a security wall along the ceasefire using advanced technology. Does that not sound like a freeze? It's a freeze. It's a Minsk 3. Minsk 3, 2015, the Baltsevo moment, swap out Merkel for Trump. Russia doesn't even get Donetsk. Right, one of Russia's key demands, they're saying, was all of Donbass. That was Russia's key demand. They don't even get that in this plan. They don't even get that. What happens is a security wall, a demilitarized zone, and a security wall. A freeze. So that's the Washington Post article. This is how the WAPO and... my guess would be this is how the three-letter agencies are looking at this peace plan, or this is how they're hoping this peace plan will shake out. Or maybe this is their way of trying to influence Trump, or maybe even their way of trying to sabotage Trump with the three-letter agencies. You never really know what they're up to, do you? You kind of get a sense of what they're up to, but you're not quite 100% sure. So I'm just trying to see if I have anything else to add to this analysis of the Washington Post. All right, that's it. We can move on. We can move on and talk about a statement that Steve Hanke made yesterday. He is a professor of applied economics at Johns Hopkins. He was also, I believe, in the Reagan White House, an FX and commodity trader. And what did he say about the corruption in Project Ukraine? He said the total amount of money pumped into Ukraine since 2022 is $360 billion. I estimate that corruption accounts for 15 to 30% of the total aid. That means $54 billion to $108 billion is lining the pockets of the corrupt. And under Trump's plan, you're looking at amnesty for $54 to $108 billion. No investigation, nothing. Everyone walks away with big time money in their pockets. Bags and bags of money. $54 billion to $108 billion. I would say it's more along the lines of $108 billion because I would say the actual money that was pumped into Ukraine is much more than $360 billion. Rule of thumb is whatever the official number is. The rule of thumb is to double or triple it, right? So you're probably looking at 15 to 30% of money that went to corruption of a total of 600 billion, 1 trillion. I don't know. I'm just throwing out numbers. This guy knows better than I do. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins. I'm just a guy with a camera walking around the streets of Athens. So let's talk about what the Washington Post is saying about Venezuela. They are saying that the White House is beginning their covert operations in Venezuela. Their super secret covert operations in Venezuela that the Washington Post is telling us about, because these operations are so secret that the WAPO is reporting about them anyway. The plan is that the three-letter agencies are going to start to move to remove Maduro from power. Maybe if they can remove Maduro from power, then we won't have some sort of military operation in Venezuela. And they're going to be dropping leaflets in Caracas as part of some psychological operation, some psych warfare to pressure Maduro. It's going to happen on his birthday as well. That sucks, man. You're going to be celebrating your birthday for Maduro and the CIA drops leaflets saying Maduro must go. Hey, Maduro, you must go. By the way, happy birthday. Thanks, CIA. Maduro, you must leave now. We wish you a happy birthday. Yeah, so they're going to be doing that. And what else? And there's a no-fly zone now, or at least there's the United States issuing a no-fly for aircraft over Venezuela because there's going to be military training in the region. So the U.S., according to Flight Radar 24, is issuing a security NOTAM for Venezuelan airspace. So that was issued yesterday, I believe. The 21st of November, this NOTAM over Venezuelan airspace was issued, according to the media. The leaflets that are going to be dropped in Caracas are expected to contain information about a reward and a reward leading to Maduro's arrest and conviction. Information, they're going to provide information as to how you can collect the $50 million. Man, jeez. Can you imagine sitting at the birthday table of Maduro and you have the leaflets? You're like, hey, here you go, Nicholas. Here's your present. I can get $50 million. Jeez. Oh, my God. What a train wreck this is going to turn out to be in Venezuela, man. What a freaking train wreck. Huh, if you don't laugh, you cry, man. You absolutely cry. Time Magazine is reporting, according to the two MTG friends, close associates, Marjorie Taylor Greene, that she is indeed thinking of a presidential run in 2028. This is what Time is reporting. I've seen other analysts throw that out there as well. She may want to run for president, perhaps governor, something like that. But Trump, he posted on Truth Social, Marjorie Taylor Brown. Marjorie Taylor Brown. It's a double nickname. Not only is it Taylor to Traitor, but it's Green to Brown. Trump was much better with the nicknames during his first term. Much, much better with the nicknames in his first term. Anyway, Marjorie Taylor Brown, because of plummeting poll numbers and not wanting to face a primary challenger with a strong Trump endorsement, where she would have no chance of winning, has decided to call it quits. Her relationship with the worst Republican congressman in decades, Tom Massey of Kentucky, also known as Rand Paul Jr. That's his nickname for Thomas Massey, I guess, Rand Paul Jr., because he votes against the Republican Party and really good legislation, did not help her for some reason. Primarily that I refused to return her never-ending barrage of phone calls. Marjorie went bad. Nevertheless, I always appreciate Marjorie and thank her for her service to our country, President DJT. I thank her for the service to our country as I ridicule and insult her. As I ridicule and insult her, I also want to say thank you for your service to our country. And I'm also going to take a jab at Thomas Massey. Tom Massey, known as Rand Paul Jr. So I'm going to take a jab at Thomas Massey and Rand Paul Jr. and Marjorie Taylor Greene, all in one Truth Social post. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's do a clown world and we can wrap up this Sunday video. Let's go back to Venezuela and the very brave, the very peaceful, heart of gold, heart of peace, Nobel Prize winner, Maria Corina Corazon Machado. It's been revealed that she is not hiding out in Venezuela. Everyone thought that, or at least if you go by her ex location, maybe her ex account is being managed by someone else, but basically what's happening here is that now on X, you can find out someone's location, where they're actually sending their posts, where they're tweeting or Xing or whatever it's called nowadays. It is coming from the United States, from her official X account. Her verified X account is based in the United States. Machado herself claimed she was hiding in Venezuela. So she may be in Venezuela, and maybe someone in the United States, maybe someone in Virginia, in Langley, is managing her ex account. That's possible. Or she could actually be in the United States, and she could be faking it, that she's hiding out somewhere in Venezuela. Because the story, the narrative of Maria Corina Corazon, peaceful, heart of peace, heart of gold, Machado, was that she is so brave, so courageous, that she is risking everything to be in Venezuela, to be close to her people, to be close to her country, as she tries to get regime change, as she tries to get the United States to attack Venezuela. She was somewhere hiding in Venezuela. And maybe, perhaps, I'm not saying it is, I'm saying perhaps that's fiction. And perhaps that's just part of some story, some script being spun. She could just have a social media manager in the United States putting up all of her social media posts. So that's clown world number one. And clown world number two takes us to Denmark. And I talked about this about a month ago, a little over a month ago, actually, when I was in Yerevan, is when this story broke, that the leader of Denmark, very, very close to Zelensky, Mette Frederiksen, her and her husband, very, very good friends with Zelensky and Zelenskaya. And the reports were from some media in Denmark that Frederiksen's husband is working on a documentary, on a film, on Zelensky, and he was using, I believe the story was that he was getting funding from the state, and that was the scandal. And it looks like the media in Denmark is pressing on with this story, trying to find out what is going on. The Danish prime minister and her husband, the media is saying that Bo Tengberg, husband of Frederiksen, who is making a film about Zelensky, using state budget funds, he's making the film. And the newspaper Extra Bladet reports that Tengberg hired an expensive lawyer to hide from the public the fact of using the budget funds. Journalists are trying to find out what will happen with the profit if the film turns out to be successful. What's going to happen with the profits from this film on Zelensky? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Amnesty. Everyone gets amnesty, man, according to Trump's peace plan. This reminds me of Married with Children. Love and Marriage, the fountain in Chicago, right? That's what this fountain reminds me of. Love and Marriage. So anyway, that's the scandal in Denmark, which is not going away, because the media in Denmark, some of the media in Denmark, refuse to have it go away. Anyway, that is today's video. I will end things there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. You can also find us on Telegram. And check out the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.